section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hell in the Cell is this Sunday. Are TNA's days numbered? And does Aaron resubscribe to the WWE Network? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Rey Mysterio is not wrestling again for the WWE. Actually, for the WWE, not the WWE Network, but the WWE. What are your thoughts on this, Aaron?
You know, a lot of people, a lot of speculation has been going around saying that Mysterio's done. He's not going to be with WWE anymore. And honestly, I think that's probably for the best. You know, his best days are behind him. And with the type of schedule that WWE had him on, I mean, he just, it's somebody like him cannot take it. You know, he has a very aerial type of attack, and that doesn't work for somebody with WWE's schedule. It just doesn't. Honestly, he should have been in TNA 5 years ago. You know, I think that would have been best for him. And so I think now he has an opportunity maybe to, you know, do spot matches here and there, just really big ones. And it can be better for him if that's the case.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's had these issues back when he was in WCW. So
yeah, but it wasn't as big, though.
But he missed a lot of dates because of his knees. And that's what his problem is, his knees. His knees just cannot handle it. Now, the rumor is that he's going to go to AAA, which is fine, down in Mexico. He won't be bringing in the money that he probably thinks he'll make down there, but, you know, that's
he's a huge name, though. You know, he's not just a wrestling name. You know, he's actually really big. I think that the majority of people who at one point in time had watched wrestling probably know who Rey Mysterio Jr. is. And so they, you know, especially in AAA, you're probably going to get people who will watch it or like go to shows knowing that Rey Mysterio is going to be there. So I think that he's going to bring in, a new audience to that promotion. So I actually think that he might do pretty well there.
And isn't AAA the one that's going to be airing on TV as well?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, they are going to be airing it on TV.
I'm just curious what those ratings are going to be with wrestling on there, but who knows? So Aaron, big news next week on October 30th. WWE has to release the network numbers.
Yeah, and we will talk about that when it happens. You know, we are scheduled to talk about it, on the 30th. And I think that honestly, we're going to get some insight into what happened after, subscribers had, let their 6 month go. Without resubscribing, we're going to talk about WrestleMania and the numbers that happened after that, because there were a lot of people that subscribed for WrestleMania and their 6 month lapsed. And it's going to be really interesting to see what WWE comes up with, because at the end of the day, you know, they had, what was it, 600,000-700,000 people. A lot of those people unsubscribed, a lot of them. And I don't think that they gained that many back. So if I were to guess, they're probably still at 600,000 or 700,000.
Actually, I believe the make or break number right now is, I believe, just something over 1 million. If it's at least 1 million subs, that's great. But the other thing is, are the subs as of that day? Because if they're going to announce the numbers what they were in September, that and those numbers will be different, because you have a bunch of people who just subscribe, but the WrestleMania people will still be on that number. That's what I'm getting at. So are they going to say that's what it is as of today? Or is it what the numbers were as of September 30th?
As of September 30th,
which is complete crap, because they should say, someone should ask, what are the numbers right now? Well, if they say that they're not going to give the numbers out, then that number drops. So if they say, hypothetically, let's say that comes out that they have 1.2 million subscribers, hypothetically. And then they ask, well, how many are there now? Because the people who subscribe for WrestleMania, their subs went out, earlier this month. So what is the number now? And if they say that they're not going to discuss that, that means that number dropped dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
Because, absolutely. You know, the one thing also, they have, I think it was like 570 or 590,000 something along those lines this last time. I believe that, like I said, with adding all these countries, if they don't at least double that, they're in big trouble, and maybe the network was a bad idea. But also, can they count the Canadian people as well, since they're going to have a channel?
Yeah, I think that they'll probably count Canadians. I think that they'll count as many people as possible. But I'll be totally honest, I don't think that the subscribers have actually gone up as much. Because the thing is, I like the network. I think the network is tremendous value. But I let mine relapse because – or lapse because I didn't see a value in, have, in picking it back up except for when the pay-per-view happens. So what's the point? Let's say that your subscription, it expires, and then 2 weeks, there's the pay-per-view. You go, well, there's no new shows that I can see in those 2 weeks. So why would I want to pay? You know, I mean, granted, it's only 2 weeks, right? Let's say it's 3 weeks. Let's say it's 4 weeks. You know, you're saying, well, if it's 4 weeks, I'm going to save my myself $10 by not subscribing. Well, why not do that? You know, and that's the thing. They have to offer content that makes people go, oh. You know, it's only $10. It's not a big deal. It's basically Netflix, you know? So I think that, to be honest, I think that we're going to see a drop in the subscribers. Or I should say drop in U.S. subscribers.
I was also going to point out, if they do it from September 30th, they can't count the U.K. subscribers because they couldn't sub until this month, October.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the other intriguing thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what these numbers are going to be. Hopefully we get an early leak of what the numbers could be, which I believe stock is going to tumble no matter what. If it's not over at least 1.2, it's going to tumble. And then a $1 billion company is going to go down to, I wouldn't be surprised if their stock drops from, I think it was 12 earlier today, to like almost $13. If it drop, it'll drop to almost $9, I believe. And that's going to hurt the company.
In all honesty, if I own WWE stock, I would probably be looking to sell it right now. It's currently at 12.8. And so when you think about it, you know, it's been in that range, you know, for a while now. I think that come next week, we're probably going to see it drop. I would say probably to about $10.
All right. So one thing I want to talk about is that we gave TNA so much crap about taping early. How come we don't give NXT the same crap?
You gave them crap about taping so much. The only thing I gave them crap about was taping through the pay-per-view. That, to me, I think is stupid. But NXT, though, I think the biggest reason we don't give them crap is because it's basically developmental. You know, same thing with Ring of Honor. You know, I get Ring of Honor shows, and, you know, I already knew Michael Elgin lost the title. And I was watching him with the title take on, you know, Tommaso Ciampa. And I was like, okay, you know, great match. It's kind of cool, but... I already knew what was going to happen. The big thing is really that NXT is not mainstream. You know, TNA, though, is, you know, mainstream to a point. And so that's why they get a lot of crap for taping, you know, 2 months in advance, you know, through a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I will say the whole thing with them taping enough shows that are going to air after the pay-per-view was kind of upsetting. Plus, your pay-per-view just happened. You basically taped what... 4 or 5 shows after the pay-per-view? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. But, hey, I guess crap happens, right? But
yeah.
Anyway, so I just wanted to bring up that point because I was thinking about it. But let's talk about some WWE program for this week. So The Miz and Damian Sandow, is that just gold or is it not?
Well, we've talked about them in the past, and I am a big fan of these two. You know, we're going to talk about in our weekly topic a little bit about the pay-per-view coming up. I got to say, I actually think that Miz and Sandow, well, I think Miz should win the title. I really think, though, these two should go after the tag titles. I think that these two would be perfect for that. And, you know, they've really been careful about who they give the IC and US title to as of late. They've been, you know, only giving it to people who they think deserve it or they want to see what they can do. And Sandow's not ready for that type of title yet. However, though, tag titles, they throw around. There's no issue. I mean, there's a lot of people who've held the tag titles that shouldn't have. You can give Sandow a tag title, and it'd be totally fine. There'd be nothing weird about it. Give these two tag titles. They will have a lot of fun with it.
Won't this hurt The Miz, though?
No. If anything else, I think it brings him back into the spotlight. It makes him more relevant. To be honest, I did not like Miz at the end of his run last time around. I thought that it was kind of stale. And so to have him, you know, go off and shoot a movie was a really good thing for him and his character. Allowed him to come back fresher. And to pair him with Sandow actually helped out a lot. And so Sandow has an opportunity here to really help elevate Miz while Miz elevates Sandow.
The other thing also, he was only gone like 7 to 8 weeks, which to me is weird because you would think that he was gone for a while, but you didn't realize it. But it was like
seemed like he was gone for a lot longer than that.
Well, because he left right before he did the movie. And then, maybe he came back a month or two after. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, it seemed like he was gone for a long time, but he really wasn't. Because he came out and did the whole superstar gimmick. You know what? You're right. He did sit out for a while. So I take that back. But anyways, should we even touch on the fact that Cena and Orton are wrestling again?
Here's the thing that I'm a little bothered by this. On Raw, when they announced that it's a number one contenders match, I raised my hand in the air and I was like, call me, teacher. Call me. I got a question for you. Why is this the loser match? You know, Cena lost to Ambrose. And so Cena now gets a shot at the number one gets a shot to be the number one contender. If I knew that was on the line where, hey, the winner gets Rollins and the loser gets number one contender, I'd say, oh, I'll lose this match. I have no problem losing this match because I kind of want the title. Title's kind of the most important thing in the world. And they're sending so big signals. Like, I think that they think that we're idiots. That's what I feel, you know?
Well, do you think maybe Cena will come out and say that's why he let Rollins win? Or not Rollins, but let Ambrose win?
No, because he didn't. He didn't let him win. He tried to win. I mean, they beat the holy hell out of each other.
But could he say eventually that he knew Ambrose wanted Rollins more, so because of that, they worked something out where
it was a face versus a face, you know. I don't think that's even going to be brought. It's not going to be because the pay-per-view here is in a couple days. So, I just think that this is poor writing and really poor booking on the WWE's part.
Oh, well. So Dean Ambrose, do you think he is the PG Austin?
No, I think that Ambrose is kind of his own character, to be honest. I think that Austin was so unique. You know, we can say that, Cena's kind of like Hulk Hogan, and he is in a way, but he is also unique. You know, he's very unique. And I think Ambrose, the closest comparison is Brian Pillman, but even that, I think that he's his own guy.
I think he's better than Brian Pillman.
Brian Pillman didn't have a chance to shine. He had a heart condition and unfortunately died. But I think that Pillman would have been a WWE champion. I think that Pillman had a lot of really good stuff going for him. I do think that Ambrose probably would have been better, though.
You really think Pillman would have been a champion?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. He was a rising star. The stuff they were doing with him, they would have. He would have been, you know, paired with a lot of the greats there. He would have had matches against Foley, against Triple H, you know, maybe even HBK. But he would have been a huge player in the WWE.
By the way, do you like the fact that Ambrose, his finishing move, Dirty Deeds, is now being changed to the McFoley DDT?
The double arm DDT, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I hated the headlock driver. I thought that was so stupid. I thought that was just that is such a stupid finisher. It's like, hey, I'm going to give you a bulldog, kind of. You know, it's such a dumb finisher. I'm glad that they did change it. I think that it was smart to do. I would have probably given it a different name, though, you know.
Yeah, or Dirty Deeds 2 or something like that. Something along those lines. But yeah, one thing, dude, Mick Foley returned.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I'm wondering what type of deal he has worked out with the WWE right now.
It's just a one-shot thing, you know. He probably just happened to be in the area, or, you know, he happened to have an open date from his comedy club, so he's like, I guess I'll show up.
I will say it was nice seeing Mick back, though. I was really happy to see him. Now, the one thing that was really interesting, that Raw ended, and Rollins curb stomped Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
is this, are we for, you know, is this going to be for, is this foreshadowing to something that's going to happen later on?
It is. I think they have really been teasing an Orton face turn. To be honest, I don't like Orton as a face. I think, I mean, he's okay, but he's not fantastic. I don't know why they would want to turn him face. They have too many faces as it is. So, you know, keep him as a heel. But I think that if you have that friction there, it makes for a more compelling and more interesting storyline. So you have this, you know, guy who's the blue chipper and, you know, is still a little wet behind his ears, but, you know, it's the golden boy, the one that the boss likes a lot. And so I think that's a really interesting storyline. But I would not turn Orton face at all. What about you? What would you do?
I don't know if it's a time to turn him face. I mean, I've saw somewhere where his merchandise sales have plummeted, and that's not a good thing, especially because he was selling a lot of merch and then all of a sudden he stopped. And sometimes just turning him face, even if it's for like a few weeks, or say that this is the authorities' plan all along was to turn him face and now he's back a heel. You know, I guess you don't want to do the Kazarian thing where he's, you know, heel face, heel face, heel face. What are we going to do now with you? Oh, we'll make you heel again. So, and then a tweener. So I don't know if that's what they're going to try with Randy Orton, but it's almost maybe give him time off. Just give him a few months off, give him a month off, bring him back, and then he's fresh. But the rumor is that he actually hurt his back because he wasn't even on SmackDown. So that's kind of the weird part, but oh well. Do you like the fact that Cesaro and Dolph have been going at it back and forth lately? The matches themselves, like, I guess not the fact they're going, but the match themselves, do you think that those are actually making, I guess, other matches look bad?
They've been having some really great matches. Those two are workers. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that they put on really, really good matches. I don't quite understand why they're having another match at the pay-per-view, though. I know it's 2 out of 3 falls, which is really nice, and we'll go into our picks, you know, here in just a second. But I think that for this, like, you're giving away these matches on free TV. They're for the title, apparently. Some of them aren't, you know, or they don't make any sense of what they are. It's weird. I don't like the way that they're booking it. I would do it very differently. I would say, how about we create some tension between you two? Because to be honest, I don't remember where the tension started. Do you?
I don't either. I'm lost on this one, actually. But hey, they're having some great matches. I mean, you know, I want to bring up something later, but, you know, Kofi and Cesaro wrestled on last week's Superstars. I know you don't watch it, but they wrestled on last week's Superstars. And that was a 4.5-star match. And I'm not exaggerating, a great match. And then you cut to Monday, arguably at least a 4, if not 4.25-star match. And then on SmackDown, you can argue about that one. So you're like, okay, is it those guys that are putting it on, or is it just Cesaro? I think in this case, it's just those three guys could actually have a mini feud going if you wanted to. But I like the fact they gave it to, so it's just Dolph and Cesaro for the title.
And let me say this. I love the fact that these two are being paired together because they put on great matches. And so we get to see really great stuff. That's awesome. You know, that's what I love about WWE, is that they have these really great performers and we get to see these really great matches. The thing I don't like is when they go and they, you know, put on they go at each other all the freaking time, and that's what I don't like. So
you know what,
kudos.
You were saying about stuff you don't like. You know what I don't like? The Monday Night War series right now. And here's why. Since you don't have the seat, here's the thing. Of course, as you guys probably don't realize, Aaron has not resubbed yet. So he's not resubscribed to the network yet. He probably will this Sunday. Maybe Saturday if he has nothing to do, and he'll just catch up on NXT and the Monday Night Wars. But this week's Monday Night War had Bill Goldberg. All right, so you have Bill Goldberg, right? Mm-hmm. I wrote an entire, 26-line notes on how they screwed this thing up. if that tells you anything.
Oh, yeah.
And I will show you my notebook that I keep for Off the Mark. If you probably can't see it because of the light, but that's all Bill Goldberg Monday Night War.
So it was good, huh?
I have multiple issues. I'm even going to go over them on the show because they tick me off that much.
Well, this is supposed to be, I want to say, like 20 episodes. And I think at the end, it could be our, holiday special that we do. Think that at the end, we could, just go over it and just talk about, hey, they talked about this, through these episodes. Let's talk about DX real quick, NWO, Goldberg, Cruiserweights. And we can really go over in depth about the differences and the pros and the cons for each of them. Because I think it kind of needs – I think it needs a fresh coat of paint, because right now the coat of paint that's on there isn't working.
And here's my issue with them so far. Pro WWE. Nothing good about WCW. They'll bring up a point that WCW did good, and then they'll take you down three notches by bashing something like in Goldberg this way. But anyways – before we thank our sponsor, I just want to tell you, if you can, try and rewatch the match that Bill Goldberg had against William Regal. They told him to go 6 minutes. Comical. It just showed that Goldberg is not that guy. So anyway, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free set builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo and see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big from items at WWEShop.com. So let's talk Impact Wrestling this week. What a crappy show. So let's talk about the fact that Mr. Brodus Clay, I think his name, I don't even remember what his name is.
Tyrus.
Yeah, whatever. I still don't care.
Or as I like to call him, Brother Brodus.
Brother Brodus. Yeah, so he's there. He basically beats the crap out of Rockstar Spud. Here's my problem with this. I don't like the fact that he's a face. I think it's a weird face.
Who? Spud?
Spud.
Oh.
I just find it weird. I don't know, because I think he comes over better as a heel.
I agree. The problem with him is, though, he comes over better as a heel, but people like him, and people like to, cheer for him, even though he's a heel. And that's the problem. So leave him as a heel, let him get some of the cheers, but let him like call him out and say that you're idiots for cheering me. That's what you need to do. And instead they're like, oh, we're just going to change him. There are people that you have to change because they're getting cheers. I think that Austin Aries was a great example of that. But Rockstar Spud, you make him a face and people aren't going to really get behind him, I don't think. I could be wrong. This may turn out to be one of my, blunders, which I do have every now and then. But personally, I think that Spud needs to be a heel.
I completely agree. Now, the other thing I had an issue with was, I guess, the show itself. I mean, they had a tag tourney, which was nice. They gave out a lot of love. But the show itself, didn't care for it when it was all said and done. A contract signing?
Yeah.
Come on. But anyways,
you obviously really didn't like seeing all the tag team matches.
Basically. Okay, I did like to see the tag team matches. Don't get me wrong. They were great. Of course, you had the Hardy Boys. They took on Zima Ion and
Jesse.
Yeah, thank you. I always get him confused with some other random guy. But so, yeah, it was a good match. Actually, I take that back. The match sucked. But the Hardys won. Yeah.
The Hardys were good.
The Hardys were good, yes. That's the thing. That's the best way to explain it. The Hardys were good. That was it. what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's nice that they devoted time to the tag team titles, but what I would have rather seen is space out the tag matches. Tag matches are good, but they are very formulaic, and if you have six in one night, obviously over-exaggerating by maybe one match, you lose a little bit of luster there, and since these are taped,
you can actually have, you could have one next week, you could have two next week instead. That's what I would have done.
The other problem was the matches were so fast. Like the first match with the Hardy Boys, I think it was, including all the talking, curtain to curtain, it might have been 6 minutes. And yeah, that's not a lot of time to get a good match over.
But, you know, it's against a unproven team. You know, it's not against a, you know, a team 3D. So,
yeah, that is true. Oh, well, I wonder how much longer Robbie and Brooke Tessmacher are going to be on The Amazing Race. Do you watch that?
No.
Neither do I. I guess that's one of the few wrestling things that I have not seen. but yeah, so overall, just Impact Wrestling this week was, well, it was a horrible show.
It was very
show.
Forgettable.
Yes. And the sad part is we have, what, 6 more episodes after this?
Yeah, something like that.
And then we have 6 weeks of recap shows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the big question, the million-dollar question. Are they going to have a TV deal within the next few weeks?
I think they will.
I think they won't. And here's why. I believe when the WWE Network numbers come out and they see that it's under $1 million, I believe that everyone's going to, that whoever they had negotiating is going to walk away or lowball them big time. And, you know, they have to make more than what they're getting because the one place is taking 20%. And I'm sorry, but they haven't done anything for them because they would have the deal already. And that's the sad part. But yeah, hey, well, at least we know that TNA is going to be around until the end of the year. Remember, that was one of my predictions and I got it. I'm going to get it right. So that's one.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. So let's move on to our weekly topic. We're going to bring Doug Hahn onto the show and discuss it. So what do you think about the Sheamus Miz match, Aaron?
I think it actually is going to be pretty good. I like what they've been doing with Miz. Miz is a character I haven't really cared for too much, but I got to say, I actually think they've done a lot of really great stuff with him and with Damian Sandow. I personally think that the best thing you could do here is actually have Miz win this one. Sheamus hasn't really done a lot with the title, so I think that Miz would be the best one.
Yeah, and then hopefully Miz Dow will bring out his United States title, which would be funny. Doug, what are your thoughts?
I think it would be this would be the comedy gold match of the night, and I want to see Sheamus get beat by Miz Dow and Miz win the title.
Oh.
Like NWO rules apply, where it can be any member of Team Miz Dow.
I wonder if they're going to add that stipulation in, because that would be pretty cool. Yeah, that would be nice. So I think with this one, I want the Miz to win. Sheamus will probably retain, but I think having the Miz team win would just be comedy. Because whenever, of course, you know, Miz Dow's out there, if the Miz is in a hole, he's down there doing the same thing. If he hurts his knee, doing the same thing. But it'd be funny if Miz just sits at the commentator's table the entire match that comes in for the 1-2-3, which would be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so next is going to be Ziggler versus Cesaro. Aaron, what are your thoughts?
This is actually a 2 out of 3 falls match. I think that this is an opportunity here. You could really push Cesaro. However, though, I think that if you're going to have Miz win in the previous match, I think that this one you have to have Ziggler retain. But I would, if not, I would do the reverse and I would have Cesaro get a win if Sheamus happens to get a win over his.
All right. Yeah, with this, I would like to see Dolph retain. I think it would actually be beneficial for him. Even though Cesaro, you know, as an IC champion would be intriguing. What are your thoughts, Doug?
I'm kind of curious about this. And now that I'm looking at it, I'm kind of wondering if they are setting it up to combine the two titles, because you just switched the competitors from the titles right there. Cesaro versus Sheamus was last month, and now it's Miz versus Sheamus, and it was Miz versus Ziggler last month, and now it's Cesaro versus Ziggler. So between all four of them, are they going to just keep – like I say you have Cesaro win this one. Then it's going to be Ziggler versus Sheamus next week, and then Miz versus Cesaro next month.
Oh, gosh.
And then you keep doing it between all four of them until WrestleMania, and you have a four-way for one title.
That would be intriguing, actually. That'd be something to think about. Now,
I think that they should combine the titles personally. I actually agree because, you know, the thing here, you have four really strong competitors. And if all four were going after one title, it would make that title seem even bigger. And I think that would be a bigger deal, because right now it's like two titles. Which one's actually bigger? Is the Sheamus' title bigger? Is Ziggler's title bigger? You know, I don't have any context with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with the Rusev Big Show match, Doug, who do you think is going to win this?
I'm still going to say Rusev's going to win. I think they give it to him and just try. I mean, each time he's beat somebody, it's propelled him just a little bit higher up towards the main event status. So him beating Big Show now moves him up to that next status of who's he going to face. And I really think it'll be set up for a Rusev Cena match next month.
Well, that would make sense because it would be better Cena beat Rusev, but I think because then the crowd can't boo him.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. And, you know, the whole thing with that happened on Raw, I thought was kind of weird that the fact they actually focused on the guy a little bit. I thought that was a little weird, but also you could tell it was fake because if it's someone who runs in realistically, they don't show him at all on TV. So,
yeah,
I thought it was real at the very beginning, but you're right. As soon as it started focusing and leaving it on there, I was like, oh, that's a setup. Okay.
Yeah, and also you got cut on that too, so who knows? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he bladed. Who knows? Even though a few months earlier, that same guy who was the veteran wrestled AJ Styles in actually a really good match. So next we have Cena versus Orton, which is what the ninth match they've had in the last year and a half together?
Yeah, but they need to have at least one more.
Oh, to round it up to 10?
One more after this? Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe two more after this.
we'll see how well the match goes.
We'll just say match until WrestleMania.
Pretty much.
With this, I believe Cena's going to win. What do you think, Doug?
I think Cena's going to win. I think Orton's going to go away for a little bit. I think he's got a back problem also that he needs to rehab a little bit. So this will be a Cena win.
Yeah.
I actually disagree with both of you. I think that this is Orton's to win because the thing that we have to keep in mind is that it's for the number one contendership for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And they didn't say when it'll be. It'll probably be at Survivor Series would be my guess. The thing is, I don't think Cena needs another shot. We've already seen everything we need to see with Cena Lesnar. And I think that this is an opportunity here to give Orton an opportunity at Lesnar. And we could potentially actually see a good match because, you know, Cena Lesnar wasn't bad, but it wasn't fantastic. You know, I don't think Orton and Lesnar have ever faced each other. So you actually have a marquee match there. So in my opinion, I think that this is the opportunity you have Orton win so that way he can take on Lesnar.
And to that point also, I think it could also set up a good Orton versus Rollins feud if he was to interfere again.
That is true.
And I like the fact that they're not focusing on the fact that Rollins has the Money in the Bank briefcase, which is intriguing. And I actually was going to throw something out there about that match. So let's talk about Ambrose versus Rollins next. I believe Ambrose will win. But I'm wondering, could Rollins come out after the pay-per-view is all over with and say, I want to cash in my Money in the Bank contract now. And let's make it title will still change hands if the person doesn't show up. Could they do something like that instead?
I don't think so. I think you're downgrading the title then if you do something like that, just in that kind of case. I wouldn't put it past WWE to do something like that, but especially since I think a lot of people were angry over Brock Lesnar not being at SmackDown.
Yeah, I did see that. That was kind of sad that they did not... That it was sort of advertised, and it wasn't advertised, but they showed pictures of him, mm-hmm. which, that was a little weird. Aaron, what do you think? Ambrose Rollins?
I think that this is an opportunity to give Ambrose a much needed win. Ambrose, you know, has lost his major bouts with Rollins, and Ambrose has really been a shooting star as of late. I think that you need to give Ambrose a win.
I agree with that.
Yeah, he definitely needs the win. Now, which Hell in a Cell match will happen first? Cena Orton or Ambrose Rollins? Aaron?
I think you have to have Rollins and Ambrose be the final match. I think that should be the main event. That's what it was billed as. And, you know, as we had talked about earlier, the biggest problem I really had with this whole thing is that, you know, Cena and Orton, Cena lost, yet somehow he gets becomes the number one number one contenders match. You know, why would that be the main event? You know, like, why do you lose a match and then have that be the main event? So I just think that you really, really need to have it be Rollins Ambrose.
All right. So are you guys going to stop watching the pay-per-view and switch to Total Divas?
I am.
The Mid-City season finale? You are, Aaron?
I haven't even started watching Total Divas, so I don't think I'm going to start right now. Now, see, maybe I start the first season at the start of the pay-per-view and finish before it, but...
You can just fast forward.
Yeah.
There's not much going on. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AltamarK86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.